Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Woo, woo!
Good Monday morning, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope your week is off to a phenomenal start today. Are you guys loaded up? Are you flush with supplies for tomorrow? Because tomorrow is a double whammy. It is Cinco de Mayo and Taco Tuesday.
It's like mañana. Hey, it's going to be good, Paul? Mañana.
No, I'm not. I got to figure it out.
There's nothing to figure out, man. Beer and tacos.
I got to figure out what spot I'm going to because I'm not making it.
Why not?
I wanna make it because I just don't feel, you know, every now and then on stuff like, I don't want to do that. I just want to just chill.
You just want to pull the foil off the top and go.
Exactly.
Jorge, any recommendations for Key?
Nah, he made up his mind, man. I'm not going to change it.
it's going to be a good day.
Do I have to do tacos, though? Can I not do, like, fully loaded nachos?
Yeah,
or
you
burritos,
can do anything. Cinco de Mayo, anything goes, man.
Costco.
Stop. Okay, let's move on.
All right, here you go. See, now you're going to fall off the rails. Now you are falling off the rails. I right now, I'm in my Chewbacca outfit because it's May the 4th be with you. Tomorrow, I will go ahead and find my sombrero. I'm sure I have in my closet, and I'm going to be all about Cinco de Mayo. I went shopping yesterday to buy the tacos and all that stuff already, so I can just slide right into it as soon as the show's over tomorrow. I'm just going to start eating. I'm not going to stop. I loaded up on tequila yesterday too. I did it all. I bought everything up because, you know, I'm gonna hype this up.
Prepared. It's like anything else. You gotta be prepared before the moment comes. So when it happens, you don't have to worry about it. You got all your stuff in place. Like you mentioned, LZ, you've got your Chewbacca onesie on. Your favorite of the Star Wars films is which one?
Rogue One.
That is the right answer.
Yeah, it is quite possibly one of the most perfect films ever to deal in the whole sci-fi fantasy genre, because once you realize they were actually killing people, then the stakes were really interesting, right? Like, that's part of the problem with so many films, whether they're sci-fi, superhero, or just regular action, you know, crime fighters sort of things. You know they're not going to kill Rambo, right? So you don't really care that Rambo's in trouble because you know he's going to get out. You know Arnold Schwarzenegger's going to get out of trouble. When you know these things, it takes some of the fun out of it. But Rogue One, they were killing people. And so you were like, damn, I don't know if this person's going to make it or not. And that just made it so much more compelling just as a watch. And then the story, it was flawless from beginning to end, the connection, the way they show, you know, characters and how they fit in. And yeah, I love Rogue One.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have nothing to add to that other than I think that you are right. So we got to see Last Dance last night. Episodes 5 and 6 dropped. And episode 5 started with the 1998 All-Star Game, Michael's last All-Star Game, and his relationship with Kobe Bryant. And seeing Kobe as a very young player in the league who was just getting started, who was still dealing with the reputation of the guy that was going to take all the shots and not pass. And it was a lot of fun to see that and to get to see Kobe as a young player who is still on his way up as opposed to a made legend in the league. Because at least for me, it's very hard to go back to the beginning of Kobe's career. You just think of Kobe as the 5-time NBA champion, one of the greats of all time.
Yeah, it you know, having the opportunity to see that in a moment where he's young, he's got the funny haircut, the little what they call the thing on the end of the chin right there, LZ, the little hair.
What was that? Goatee?
No, he didn't have a full goatee. He just had the little hair hanging off the tip of the chin. So when you look at that, when you look at Kobe Bryant, you're sitting there saying to yourself, okay, Jordan going to do him something wrong. But it wasn't even about Jordan doing him something wrong. It was more about Kobe next to a guy that he'd been, you know, idolizing since day one, finally getting an opportunity to play against Jordan in the Garden, his last All-Star appearance in the Garden, where you're sitting there and you're going to yourself, okay, this makes all the sense in the world as to why everybody would look at Kobe as the next heir apparent or the guy who's closest to Michael Jordan. I mean, he made it to the point where he was going to suck up all the information he could at that moment in time while he was next to the greatest basketball player of all time. So he was going to try to get all the information he could, and at the same time, he was going to see just how good Jordan was because he was going to wave everybody else off.
Yeah, you know, it was so much fun watching just the conversations and you know, obviously the All-Star game was special back then because the guys still cared and they still played, and Michael and Kobe are part of the reasons why. They brought that level of competitiveness that, you know, has pretty much lacked every year, basically, except for this past season where they restructured the whole thing. And that was compelling basketball. But for many years after, before that, it just was like bleh. But when Michael played, and when Magic and Bird and Kobe, when they were like just really rolling like that, the All-Star game was must-see TV because they played hard. People were catching real bodies at the rim, not this get out the way and let people dunk stuff now. No, David Robinson tried to stop Shaq, and Shaq wasn't having it. Now, maybe he should have made a business decision, but it was one of the most iconic moments because there was two Goliaths going at it, and that was awesome to see.
Yeah, the part two that I thought was really interesting is that, especially in light of having four episodes leading up into this last night, was that Michael has been established as the ultimate competitor. Michael has been established as somebody who is very tough on his own teammates, who is very tough on his own executives, that Michael was going to give no quarter to anybody, that you had to earn every last thing that you were going to get from him. And even then, it was merely tolerated as opposed to appreciate a lot of time. With Kobe, it seemed like Michael had an affection for him, and it wasn't overt, but knowing what we know now about the way that they would talk privately, knowing that Kobe was calling Michael and saying, hey, what do you do when you're trying to get a guy off your hip? How do you do your footwork on that fadeaway? There was some real personal connection there that went beyond just, oh, this guy is a young guy who's a good basketball player. Let me see what I can do with him. That Michael doesn't make a ton of deeply personal connections with a lot of guys, as evidenced in the first four episodes. Yet very early on, you could tell that he and Kobe had something that was unique to the two of them, that neither one of those guys had a ton of those relationships.
Well, I think that's because of who Kobe was. Kobe was the one who would seek out Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan did. If you approach Michael, and I just know from my own experience in dealing with MJ, is that we were cool because I was the one that reached out to him, and from that point on, we had a friendship. You have to, you know, guys like that, they ain't trying to tell you nothing. If you ain't asking, I ain't telling. And so Kobe knew that, and he went to him for that information. Other guys in the NBA never really approached Michael Jordan that way. They approached because they knew that Michael – see, when your personality is such that people think that you one way – they get a little intimidated and afraid to have any type of conversation with you. And I'm sure that these were the things that was happening along the way in Jordan's NBA career where guys did not want to go to him for fear of being shut down, being, you know, pushed away, where they'll go to a Magic Johnson and say, man, would you work with me in the offseason because of his personality? They know that he would do it. They didn't think that Jordan would do that, so they stayed away from him because his personality is such, I'm bigger than what it is, so it's hard to get a guy like that to get off his own course to help you is what people think in their minds, when in fact, if you reach out to him, he's going to do it. He's going to help you. If you Kobe Bryant, he's going to help you. But if Kobe Bryant never reached out to him, Jordan was going to reach out to him and be like, oh, yo, let me tell you what the secret sauce is.
But, Keith, do you think if so, I'm trying to think of another guy. Let's say Allen Iverson. If Allen Iverson had reached out to Jordan to do that, do they have the same relationship?
I think if AI had reached, but AI wasn't going to never reach out to MJ, though. You see what I'm saying? So the personalities wasn't, MJ's personality is such that it's laser focused, and this is what it is. It's basketball, eat, breathe, sleep. Kobe Bryant, eat, breathe, sleep, basketball. Where AI, Bubba Chuck was like, man, practice. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's a different personalities will attract, or better yet, the same personalities attract each other, where different personalities will not.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the reasons why I kind of said that Jason Tatum, to me, has that Kobe factor. And it's kind of like what Key is talking about. Knowing that Jason, as a kid, reached out and wanted to learn as much as he possibly could from Kobe. The footwork. How do you handle guys that are bigger and stronger than you? Going to him the way that he went to MJ many years before. Whereas some other cats didn't reach out to Kobe when Kobe was playing. And I'm assuming it's because of some of the same things. The personalities didn't mesh, but also Kobe had a certain kind of heat about him that a lot of guys didn't want to engage in. Personally, I feel like if I had a Laker jersey on, I'm going to at least try to get Kobe to work with me. That's just my personality. Like, I'm going to at least reach out and see what I can see. At the very least. But we know there were players who were very young who did not reach out to Kobe because they did not want that heat. They didn't want him to actually respond to it.
Because his
personality is such that you know, it's just like anything. Like, take me, for instance. When I walked in the room, when you have a personality that people don't really know about or they hear about secondhand, third-hand information, when you walked into the room at ESPN, everybody walking around on eggshells. Like, what are you walking around on? I'm not going to scream at you. Like, I'm not. I'm going to do everything that I'm supposed to do that requires me to be who I am. But when you have this notion in your mind that one is this way, you tend to not even engage in conversation with him for afraid of what he might say to you. And that is the way people looked at a Kobe, look at a Jordan. They don't look at Magic that way. They like, oh, okay, Magic. They don't look at LeBron that way. They look at LeBron like, okay, LeBron's always worked out with everybody. Where Kobe Bryant, he going to do it by himself at 2 a.m. in the morning. Michael Jordan going to do it by himself.
Michael Jordan is not an open book. He's not just he's incredibly intimidating. Incredibly intimidating. And you got to be a certain type of guy to approach Air Jordan and say, hey, what are you doing with your feet right there? There's not a lot of guys that would be – even other great players are not going to approach him like that. Like when you hear Scottie Pippen talking about him and all of his other teammates on this team, they talk about Michael in a certain way, but it's
but
never –
But they don't
hey,
want to be told – you don't want to be told
how do
no.
you do what you do.
But you don't want to be
thing,
told
but he
no.
He didn't tell Kobe no. He said
no,
yes
because
to Kobe.
Kobe approached him. If you have the same – like I'd approach Jordan. If I played hoops, I ain't got no problem. He either going to tell me no. Most likely he going to say, okay – here's what we do. Here's how we do it because I'm approaching him. He's inviting it. He wants it. He's not going to shut you down, especially if you are a up-and-coming superstar. He's not going to shut you down. But if you're just the 10th, 11th, 12th dude, he may be like, give you something but not really engaging in you because your personality isn't such. That's why you're the 10th, 12th, 11th, 12th dude on the team in the first place.
Yeah, you know, you never know exactly what was the reason why they connected the way that they have. Maybe, you know, Jordan saw him as a little brother, as he said he did. Remember Kobe at that time, you know, certainly during the All-Star game, and I believe that record still stands as the youngest player ever to be in the All-Star game at 19 years old. Maybe he saw him and just saw himself.
And that's probably true. But Vince Carter never approached MJ. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you got to engage with these guys to get them to respond. If you're looking at them like they truly are God and you're afraid to say anything for fear of being turned down, then shame on you.
No, you're right. I agree with everything you just said, Key. And I think that's the point of all of this is that Kobe realized that Kobe was special and Michael realized that Kobe was special. So he was willing to go ask and Michael was willing to tell that it was the combination of the two of them, but it took Kobe the confidence in himself to say, that's the greatest player of all time. I'm going to go pick that guy's brain. And then Michael to say, you know what? This kid's the real thing. I'm going to teach him a thing or two.
If you think about it, LZ and Travis, think about some of the players that came along in the NBA. Well, none of them really. They either was hella stabbed, like Tim Duncan doesn't need to go to Jordan because he's a big, right? I mean, he's a big, and so you don't really need to go to Jordan. You go to Hakeem Olajuwon, or you might go to Cap or something like that, but you don't need to go to MJ. If you a guard and you Vince Carter, your game ain't Jordan's game. You high-flying Duncan. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, you ain't really looking to get nothing from MJ. If you Tracy McGrady, you came in, you cool. You like your game is pretty good. You ain't really necessarily looking to move from the air ball king to seriously, you're not looking to move from the air ball king to five-time championship guy. Because your game is so strong already that you're really looking at that and you saying to yourself, oh, Jordan, okay, I could take that on. But Kobe couldn't say that because he was the air ball king at that time.
Michael Thompson, who was in The Last Dance last night, he joins us next, coming up on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. So we're a little more than halfway past the Last Dance end of the line. I need more. I'm sure that a ton was left on the cutting room floor, and we're going to need to come up with episodes 11, 12, 28, and 406. Because I can't get enough. I don't know if it's just because of it brings back a lot of really wonderful, fun memories or what, but I just can't have enough.
No, I need it. I need it. That's why I said yesterday, you know, we were watching it. Me and my son was sitting on the couch. We were watching it, and he was trying to fast forward through. He thought I TiVo'd it or whatever, and I didn't record it. And it was live. Like I was telling him, I said, this is actual programming is live basically right now. He's trying to get through the commercials because it was one of those deals where you just glued to your TV. And I feel to a degree I'm getting ready to be cheated here in about another 3 weeks that all of a sudden it's not going to be enough. You know, it's just not enough. Like, come on, man. Y'all should have just made this a whole season. Episode, right? Running for like a season, like
Seinfeld season. Or something.
Yeah, like give me about 20 episodes. That would have taken us to at least football season.
Yeah, it would have been close for sure. Ooh, you know whose music that is? That is none other than Michael Thompson. Woo-hoo! Michael, good morning. How are you today?
I'm a little perturbed. I cannot believe. Jordan kind of reminds me of Keyshawn. Keyshawn probably had the same attitude as mine. I cannot believe Michael was disparaging my boy. One of the greatest teammates ever played, Clyde Drexler, the way he did. Clyde was a great player, but he made seemed to make Clyde to be out just a scrub, didn't he, Key? That's like how probably
yeah, I talk about you know, Jerry Rice. You know what, Michael? In all honesty, prior to you waking up and getting on our show this morning, I had that conversation with the guys. So much of sitting there and watching MJ over these episodes and saying to myself, a lot of what he stood for and how he went about his business did remind me of myself to a degree. Now, I'm not – obviously, I play football, which is a different sport, but my approach and my thought process was very similar in that aspect. Clyde, obviously, Hall of Famer, great player and all that, he ain't no MJ. And I feel the same way about other receivers that's ever played the game other than Jerry Rice. That's just how I feel. I don't give a damn what nobody say or defensive backs. Other than Deion Sanders, the rest of them dudes, I'm like, man, y'all just guys with jersey numbers. That's just how I approach the game. That's how I approach it. No disrespect to them. They all got, you know, they're all good. Some is even Hall of Famers. But everybody's situations and circumstances are different. To sit up and try to compare somebody to me just because you want to compare them and you think they good, no. I'm like MJ. No.
You would think that way about, say, a Michael Irvin or a Larry Fitzgerald, Key. I thought you would approach it too.
No, I'm cool with them, but I think of myself as something different. That's just who I am. I understand they're great players and they got good numbers, but I feel like if I'm on the field with them and we all in the huddle together, the ball better come to me. I don't give a damn what their numbers look like. Like MJ said to Ma Rashad when he walked in the hotel, he said, yeah, Ahmad asked me, say, who going to take the last shot? MJ looked at him and frowned and said, me. Like, what you mean?
Yeah.
Like, why you even ask that question?
That's typical. That's like asking any baseball player who wants to be up at the bottom of the ninth with the game on the line. All great players are going to say themselves. You know that.
But that's the same way you feel or you should feel if they putting, I don't know, Mark Eaton on you or whatever. I'm trying to think of some of them old bums that they might have been comparing you to. You probably never voiced your opinion, but you certainly said at that locker, and in your mind you said to yourself, Man, I'm going to eat this dude lunch. He don't even understand what I'm getting ready to do to him. Some of them bums you was running around the Big Ten. You was the number one pick in the NBA draft for a reason. It wasn't because you was big. It's because you could play. And them other dudes were not better than you.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I was confident. But, boy, listening to you and listening to Michael Jordan, you guys make Muhammad Ali seem humble and shy.
Michael, speaking of Muhammad Ali, there's been a lot of comparisons to Jordan and what Ali would have done. And we saw a lot of that yesterday during The Last Dance. Set aside the whole notion of endorsing a candidate you didn't know. Let's skip over that part. Michael Jordan is still oftentimes criticized for being apolitical just in general. How was he viewed by other players during that time in this space?
A great question. I didn't hold it against him. Everybody has a choice to make. Some people choose to be outspoken on social issues or, you know, civil rights. And obviously that's every person's right in this country, whether you're a plumber, electrician, a sports star, or accountant, no matter what you do in life, every American citizen or a resident, or, you know, anybody who lives here should have a voice and opinion on what's going on in the country. And he chose not to speak out. And I didn't hold it against him. I thought that he had the power of the bully pulpit to do it, but he chose not to do it to protect, you know, his endorsements or not to take anybody off. I like it when guys are controversial and come out and speak their mind, even if they don't agree with your opinion. I still like to hear what they have to say, and I admire that when they are willing to risk monies and dollars or even their reputation with some fans because they may alienate some people. So I do respect that and admire that, even if they don't agree with me or take the opposite side. But, yeah, I never really held it against Michael. I just figured, well, he just chooses to be quiet and silent and let other people speak up on those issues, LZ. Now, people like you and Key and Travis, guys like you guys wouldn't remain silent, but some people do.
Well, you know what, Michael? I've not necessarily faced criticism from like Michael Jordan, but I've been in a position where I had to make a choice. Barack Obama was running for president back in 2008. And as a first, you know, not necessarily first time black, but a real opportunity, a real chance. Not that, you know, and we're not talking about Jesse and Al Sharpton and all that type of stuff. But I had to make a choice. Do I align myself with an individual that I don't know or at all just because he's black? Or do I continue to have a relationship with the Clinton family and endorse Hillary and align myself with Hillary and campaign for her in boots on the ground in South Carolina and North Carolina and Mississippi and all the different places that I traveled to do that? Or do I roll with Barack Obama? There's a choice to be made. I chose the loyalty side of things, which I knew her and her family and had been with them and eaten with them and all those sort of things. So I made that decision where people came at me and was like, oh, man, you ain't going for the brother, man. How you go? You know, and I'm like, wait a minute, man. That dude don't know me from a can of paint. But you Keith, want me to do this.
Keith, you're focusing the conversation, though, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but you're focusing the conversation on one endorsement, which is why I said the endorsement aside. This wasn't just about one singular moment. This was about the definition of a career. And throughout their career, it's been that way. But again, I don't want to spend a great deal of time about it. I just thought it was interesting. Just curious from Michael's perspective, being a player at that time, how was Michael viewed just in general?
Yeah, and you got to remember, too, LZ and Key and Travis, guys back in the 80s weren't as outspoken as they are today on social and political issues because we didn't have the platform, the social media, and the, you know, the individual way to speak out with Twitter and everything like they do now. That's why players today are so much more outspoken on what's going on in the world than it was 30 years ago.
Michael, very quickly, just go back to the beginning of the first episode last night, episode 5, when Michael and Kobe were in that All-Star game together. We were just talking about it a little bit. Why did those two guys connect the way they did? Because it didn't seem like Michael connected on a level like that with very many people, and clearly Kobe was in that inner circle. Why?
It's easy. Michael could look in the mirror and see a younger version of himself. Kobe was identical to Jordan with his desire, with his passion, with his competitive edge, competitiveness that he had, the thirst to be great, to be the best in the world. And Michael could see a young him in Kobe. So it's easy to connect with someone when someone reminds you of yourself. Imagine if Keyshawn Johnson now was coming along, or some young guy was coming along now going against Key, and he had that same attitude and the same cockiness and confidence that Key displayed on the field. I bet you, Key, you would gravitate to that player, wouldn't you, Key?
Oh, absolutely. If I gravitate to anybody that comes to me or came to me and asked me what can they do to better themselves, I had a number of guys during my career come to me and ask how can they get better, what did they do to get open, those sort of things. You certainly would do it. I'm not going to seek that person out, but if that person has enough confidence to come to me, then for sure I would.
Okay, let's do this. Michael, I'm going to make an executive decision and decide that you should do another segment with us. So sit tight. We're going to come back more with Michael Thompson on the other side of the morning show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
All right, Michael Thompson joining us here on the morning show. And Michael, you know, we were talking a little bit about Kobe, and we're talking about the political activism of Michael Jordan. Towards the end of the episodes last night, we got a glimpse of Michael just being absolutely bombarded with negative media attention because of his gambling. And then towards the end of it, he started to drop some hints about the fact that he may leave basketball sooner than later. Of course, we know that shortly after that, he went to go play minor league baseball. How surprised were you by that decision, or did you kind of see it coming because of the things he was saying?
Nobody saw his baseball decision coming. That was, I guess, something he wanted to take a break, and he always wanted to pursue his father's dream. And maybe part of his dream, too, is to be a Major League Baseball player, at least have a chance to go there and see what he could do in baseball, because when he was growing up, he said him and his father talked about playing baseball, going, getting to the majors. So that seemed to be a desire of his after his father was killed, that he wanted to see if he could fulfill that part of their dream together by seeing if he could, you know, at least go out and try to make the major leagues. But yeah, the press back then talking about his gambling, LZ and Key, as you guys know, you guys are private people, and you too, Travis. I mean, that had nothing to do with his basketball. That was his private life. He wasn't gambling on games. He could afford to lose $10,000 or $100,000. The press was definitely, and this was 35 years ago. Imagine how it would be today. But back then, they were definitely overstepping their boundaries, going after his personal life, what he was doing on his own private time.
Well, I spoke to that with the guys this morning about, you know, his time coming back to the hotel, how much he's gambling, all of those sort of things. But what happens in this world, even today, is build up, tear down. As you know, Michael, build them up, tear them down. If everything is all rosy, goldy, for a guy like Michael Jordan, there's certainly going to be a few people out there trying to find whatever it is that they can from a negative standpoint to put out.
I got to stop you. I got to stop you, Key.
Yeah, like you, LZ.
I got to stop you because it's not about negative and it's not about positive. It's
LZ
about,
doesn't do that. He don't.
It's
LZ
about,
doesn't
it's about the information.
Seek out the negative. It's not his style of writing. But there are people that resent celebrities and superstar athletes, and they're looking for anything from a negative standpoint to boost themselves.
But here's the deal. I understand that gambling is his
private life. Did we lose Michael?
Yeah.
Well, Michael, you here?
Well, okay. I think we might have lost LZ. I just, you know, when you look at the situation on Michael, when you look at the Jordan comparisons over the years and having played against him and been around the league for a long time, is Kobe Bryant the closest, and will he be the only guy ever to be as close to Michael Jordan?
Well, their styles are similar, but when you talk about greatness, and that competitive fire to be great. We've seen it in LeBron. I think LeBron gets shortchanged on this. So we see it with Kevin Durant. Those two guys have been the closest the last 10 years because of their greatness that they've displayed. So because they can affect the game on both ends of the floor, just like Jordan did too. It's not all about scoring, and they were unstoppable, just like Jordan. So you can throw Durant and LeBron into that class with Jordan and Kobe. So I have no problem doing that if you want to put those four together.
Michael, there's game and just ability to play the game, and then there's that level of competitiveness that Michael and Kobe seem to occupy. Are they singular, or Magic and Durant and LeBron and those other guys that you're mentioning, are they all in that same group, or was Michael different? I mean, just watching him throw quarters against the wall at the security guys, you could tell that was eating him alive to lose that game.
Yeah, no question. Michael Jordan had a high competitive drive, but see, people like you, Travis, make me sick. Do you remember a guy named Bill Russell? You remember a guy named Bill Russell? How many rings did he win? You know, why
11.
Are you forgetting about how tough he was and how great he was and his competitive drive and desire? The man won 11 championships in 13 years. How come he always never gets mentioned?
Okay, hold on. At the risk of making you sick again, I didn't say Bill Russell wasn't competitive. I asked if Michael Jordan was on a level of his own.
No, that's what I just mentioned. Jordan, obviously, we all see his competitive fire. Kobe had it, too. So does LeBron. So did Bill Russell. So did Kareem. All those great players had it. Otherwise, we all have talent. But when you see how Tom Brady is, how winning is never enough, he can't get enough of it, all these great legendary players have that. Mike Jordan's not the only one.
His is well packaged and is well publicized, and it's part of his aura and is part of the brand that is Jordan. It brings this sort of mentality to it. But you're right. I mean, it's hard to be an all-time great and not have a drive and not be ultra competitive in so many ways. I don't know why we don't think the Curry guys or some of the guys that are his contemporaries weren't as competitive. I think sometimes we mix not being as good as not being as competitive. But you could certainly be just as competitive as Michael Jordan. You just may not have the talent.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, exactly, LZ. I mean, look at Tiger Woods. Look how he desires to be great, and he never can get enough. And look at the level he put his competitiveness at. And to me, nothing compares to the competitiveness of a boxer like Evander Holyfield, who has to take punches in the kidneys, faces, and just keeps coming at you. To me, those are the ultimate competitive athletes.
Yeah, I absolutely. You know, I do wonder, though, you know, when this is all said and done, how much of Michael Jordan being willing to let us see the inside of his life is actually demystifying the things that we sort of enjoyed about not knowing about Michael.
Mm.
Oh, I don't think this hurts his image in any way. We all knew that he was hard and tough on his teammates. He demanded that they be great, or at least as good as they can get as much as out of their careers as they can. Kobe was the same way. So was Magic. Magic just had you guys fooled because he did it with a smile. But he was every bit as tough and as demanding as Michael Jordan was. He just didn't punch nobody because he wouldn't dare hit Kareem because Kareem would karate chop him.
Well, it is true. It's so true when you think about athletes or players that demand certain things of their teammates. I mean, you just do. You want them to approach the game the same way that you would approach it. You want them to work as hard as you work. And when you don't see them doing those sort of things, it can get underneath your skin because at the end of the day, you're trying to be a champion. And that was Jordan. That was Magic, I'm sure. And that was Kobe Bryant, I'm sure, amongst a bunch of athletes that's out there that have won championships and became great.
Exactly.
So people automatically assume that you were, you know, disrespectful, that you're, you know, you use your power, all this. It's like, well, no, that's not true. If you don't want the same things I want, then you probably should go somewhere else.
Yeah, it doesn't last long, Key, as you know. And so when you're in it, like you were and like Jordan were, when you're a champion like these guys were, if you want to get everything out of your career that you possibly can while you're physically able to do it, that's the kind of competitive kind of a concentration and desire you have to have. That's why I tell, like my son Clay, I said, man, listen, would you guys had it or did have at the time at Golden State? Don't waste this because this is special. This does not come around. So you guys got to get every ounce of this that you can out of it. Don't let it go to waste. Don't take it for granted. And that's what guys like Jordan and Kobe and Tom Brady did and do so well.
Yeah, so I feel Michael bad for Will Perdue, though, because if I was Will Perdue, I would whip Jordan's ass. You're punching on me. I don't care who you are.
Michael Thompson on the Sprint People's Hotline. Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, Delvey under control.
We'll do our best. No
Will Perdue allow MJ to punch him? Man, please.
But then, this is the thing, that Michael had that aura where nobody messed, nobody talked to him, nobody messed with him. It was all, you know what, we'll come back, we'll talk about the effect that Michael had on his teammates. You brought up Will Perdue, we'll start right there. That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. So, Key, kind of picking up where we left off, when you were talking about Will Perdue, that if you were Will Perdue, you were going to not let Michael Jordan put his hands on you the way that he did. This goes back to what I was talking about.
Put his hands on me. You can curse me, you can scream at me, but you ain't going to just be, I don't give a damn how bad I need the money as a player. You're just not going to do that. That's right. Not cool. We ain't going to cross that line.
And I think that your reaction is probably pretty typical, the way that it goes, especially among professional athletes who are just wildly competitive to begin with. But think about Kobe. Kobe, later in his career, was the guy that was tough on guys. And there weren't a lot of guys coming back at him the way that guys were coming back at Jordan. This is why I think, and this is why I asked the question and take it or shake it. I think they're so remarkably similar, not just in style, but in makeup and mentality, that they were willing to, I mean, Kobe was willing to fight Shaq. He would have gotten killed, but he was willing to do it. These guys put something out into the universe that's very unique, that very, very few people are willing to challenge them. Even if in a physical confrontation, they might come out on the wrong end. Nobody does it.
Yeah, I don't know. I had the same type of, firepower from a screaming and yelling and saying certain things to guys. I'm not looking to put my hands on nobody, but to certainly motivate them to try to get them to live up to a certain bar. That was just the fire in me, just like it was the fire in MJ or Kobe or anybody that has this champion type mentality. That is why they became winners in their life in general, because of the way that they have approached it. I'm just saying, from a Will Perdue perspective, you ain't putting your hands on me. I don't give a damn who you are. We just not allowing you, allegedly, to be punching on me. I'm not a punching bag. We're just not going to do that. We can dog curse me, and we can talk bad about my game and tell, freeze me out, and don't pass the ball to me at the end of the games because I'm going to miss the easy layup. I'm already at the rim. I get it. But don't touch me.
I wondered if you learned something from Will, and that's the reason why he got traded for Rodman.
Well, like, you think about it. I mean, what's the famous? He got in a fight with Steve Kerr, right? Steve Kerr didn't get run out of town, because Steve Kerr took the fight. I mean, I'm sure Steve Kerr got the wrong end of it, but he took the fight.
Yeah, you learn something about a dude, like, obviously you pick up at the same as the pros, but I certainly have gotten in my fair share of skirmishes with people who not only were capable of beating my ass, but actually did beat my ass. But
foul.
When you go back to the court, they respect you because they know. In fact, I can remember very vividly getting into a fight with a dude growing up in Detroit, and he beat my ass. Like, he picked me up, body slammed.
Did he grab your dreads?
Bam, bam. I didn't have dreads back then. He just beat me up. But I fought him. Got some leg sand, blah, 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 blah. Went back to the court a couple days later. I was the first dude he picked up. And because he knows I wasn't going to back down. And so I think when you look at, the situation with Will Perdue and Michael Jordan, you want someone who can step up to the challenge. You don't want someone who's going to wilt, because that's friendly fire. So if you back it down against friendly fire, what are you going to do against real fire?
So in other words, he wasn't getting ready to hit Dennis Rodman like that.
I mean, Dennis might have, came back at him, and he knew that.
But this is the thing that I keep going around and around on. Michael had an aura. We can call it whatever we want, but there was something about him that very, very few people were willing to challenge, whether it was a basketball thing, a physical thing, a mental thing, a competitive thing, that Michael just put this thing out in the universe where not only his teammates, but everyone else in the league. I mean, we talked about it earlier. Danny Ainge knew that Michael Jordan was getting ready to gut Clyde Drexler because the media was talking about Clyde in the same breath with Michael. And Danny, because he was friends with Michael, knew this is going to end badly for us, that Michael was able to put that out there in a way that very, very few – Tiger Woods had it for sure. Tiger Woods had those guys beaten before he even hit a single shot. Michael had that too. It wasn't just he was a better player. He beat them mentally and just put it out in the universe. Do not mess with me because it's not going to come your way. There are not a lot of guys like that.
No, there's not a lot of guys like that, but I can point to, and most of them that I point to are great champion type guys, right? Like, you don't, for all that Larry Bird took and gets criticized for, whatever, certain things you just don't mess with Larry Bird. Like, you don't put this dude on Larry Bird because he's going to kill him. Like, you don't disrespect Larry Bird. You don't disrespect Kobe. You don't disrespect Shaq by putting some bum on him that can't hold him. So, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to back around. I'm going to turn around and duck on his ass every chance I get because you just disrespected me by putting this dude on me. That is a mentality that you have to have. And when you look at it, championship players have those mentalities. I mean, it's just, as I was speaking to you, Michael Thompson on the air, and I was saying, I don't, outside of Jerry Rice, the rest of these dudes, man, I don't care what accolades they got and what their statistics look like. Don't disrespect me by comparing me to that or putting that dude on me. Because it's not going to happen. I'm going to turn it up even more because I'm going to get laser focused. And when I get laser focused, you're going to be in trouble. Yeah, I'm focused, but when I get laser focused, like MJ told Magic when Magic was calling the game. I mean, you do understand what's getting ready to happen to this boy. You do understand that. Like, for real. Like, you really understand what I'm getting ready to do to this dude.
But I swear, when you look at the video, Klein looked like he knew what was going to happen to him, too. Like, I can't tell you how much I laugh and love seeing that scene where Michael takes that three, and you can just see on Drexler's face, he knows some bad stuff is about to happen to him. Because even though statistically, and I remember that those days very vividly, statistically, yes, you could make the argument that Drexler was right there. But you look at him, you're like going, hey, hold up now.
You remember me telling you the story about the Rose Bowl and the Rose Bowl press conference, Travis?
I do.
What I told him, I said, man,
you know what I'm getting ready to do to you?
Do you understand what I'm getting ready to do to y'all? All by myself. As they were sitting there talking crazy, I had to just slow it down and let them know, like, well, I'm getting ready to do something to y'all that y'all not going to forget ever. It's going to be talked about for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's it right there. It's not just that I'm a better receiver than you, or I'm a better guard than you, or I'm a better this, that, or the next thing than you. It's I'm going to do something to you because you don't have this gear. You don't have this level of focus, intensity, competitiveness, whatever it is. It's not I'm a half a step quicker or I've got a nicer release. It's I'm going to do something to you because I have to, because it's in my DNA. I have to
break you. It's part of those guys. I could go back to when I played against the Tampa Bay Bucks for the first time. And, you know, you get all the press conferences and all the different stuff and all the questions. And the first thing I said, man, I'm getting ready to gut them. I don't care what nobody say. I don't give a damn how good their defense is. I'm back in the building that I won a Super Bowl with the team, and I'm getting ready to do something to John Gruden and his Buccaneers. I'm getting ready to embarrass them because that is your mentality. That is what you think. That is how you focus in.
I do wonder, and this is just me, just because, as I said, I remember all this stuff vividly. And just like it cracked me up that the Last Dance didn't bother mentioning that James Worthy had sprained his ankle in 91. They also didn't mention that Clyde Drexler was hurt in 92. And not that I think that, you know.
But it don't matter, though. It doesn't matter, LZ.
Not that I don't think that the Bulls still would have beaten them. And that not that Clyde Drexler still didn't look scared. But again, it's just another thing that just kind of makes me smile because I was a straight-up NBA head back in the day, still am, and that's the reason why I remember Worthy was hurt in 91 and Clyde Drexler had a messed-up knee and two turf toes in 92, and it's just kind of funny.
But LZ, doesn't matter because the focus is on what MJ saw in that dude, and that dude wasn't me. Period.
No, clearly. The one piece of this we haven't gotten into too much. Did Michael Jordan have a gambling problem? That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710.
7-Eleven. ESPN.